the Jaguar Stadium for tonight's game.
It's the Wishbone Podcast, your source for Auburn football discussion and commentary. Now, here are your hosts, Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I'm Van Allen Plexico. I'm feeling kinda strange about my football team tonight, and I'm joined as always by my equally bemused co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
Alright, John. I told my wife, excuse me for a little while, I have to go do the autopsy. And it's so weird because we won. We're 2-0. If you didn't put it into our notes for tonight, I think we were going to put in a little bit of talk about the polls. Can we just go ahead and get that out of the way up front before we get into
Sure, go ahead.
Has there ever been a team to win its first two games and drop from 6 to 18 in the polls?
No, but they should have dropped further.
Well, that's just the thing. I mean, woulda, shoulda. But, I mean, is there any precedent for that? I can't ever remember a team winning two games, being undefeated 2 weeks into the season. It's circumstances aside, I know. I mean, yeah, I agree with you. Maybe we should drop completely out. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not arguing with it. I'm just saying, for the sake of history, has this ever happened before? And I can't, under what circumstances? I can't even imagine. A team drops 12 spots after winning. I'm just astonished. I mean, I expected it, didn't you?
Oh yeah, I'm shocked we're in the poll.
Yeah.
I mean, the only reason that Auburn is still in the poll is the inertia of the poll voters.
Well, and the fact
they're not
that we're
creative enough to do it the right way.
Does the fact that we're undefeated and 2-0 not have any bearing on where we're ranked?
Sure it does, but there are easily 25 better teams in college football right now. So,
I think there's probably 25 better teams in Division II, actually, or 1AA. But fortunately, we didn't play one of them on Saturday. And you people quick to say, well, I think they were better than us. I think Gus said they were better. But we won the game. I just keep going back. We won the game. We didn't make the incredibly stupid decision to run the ball up the middle three times and give Auburn back a chance to tie the game up. You're not a better team, a better coached team, if you make the decision. I said it on Twitter. Run up the middle when you're trying to run the clock out is the prevent defense of offense. Would you agree?
Yeah, but, you know, they did okay rushing the ball against us. So.
Well, no. But they had so many things that were always working. The thing that scared me to death at the end of that game was that they would keep doing what had been working almost 100% of the time. And instead, they decided to do something very foolish and very predictable and basically just hand off up the middle three times and shank a punt. I mean, all they had to do was let that quarterback be creative one more play, and they won the game.
It's true.
And they made the decision to go into the prevent offense. There you go. Copyright 2015. Van Allen Plexico. They went into the prevent offense, and it did exactly what people say about prevent. It prevented a win. And I'm thrilled about it. I'm glad their coach made that incredible decision. But I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe they took a knee to end the game and go into overtime. But even before I couldn't believe that they just basically gave up.
I have no problem with them taking a knee because, believe me, I felt they had the advantage in overtime. I mean, they had a much better chance of winning the game in overtime than they did chucking it down the field. Here's a question for you. At the end of the game, would you have gone for two?
No, absolutely not. You take the percentage. You take the percentage that lets you keep playing football. You go for two, and you have a less than 50-50 shot at playing more football or winning, right? You take the one, you have an almost 100% chance to play more football. And I felt like at that point in the game, we had the advantage because we had stopped them. We had scored a touchdown. It seemed like everything was shifting back our way. In overtime, they had may have had some momentum, but in regulation, they had the ball. And that's what shocked me. Now, let me ask you this. Let me ask you, would you have gone for two if you were Auburn?
I'd have really thought about it because
No, you don't go that far down and come back up and then do a low percentage play. It's just, I mean, you've worked too hard. You're dancing on the edge of the precipice already. That's like winning at roulette just enough to get back to even and then just putting everything on double zero.
Well, what I'm saying is I was skeptical that we could stop them
in overtime. Yeah.
Or that our offense could score in overtime.
I felt like we were going to score in overtime. My question was, how many overtimes would it take before somebody messed up? Now, I'm going to forget my other thing I was going to shoot. No, well, it'll come back to me. But I feel like I know what I was going to ask you. You know, honestly, Carl Lawson aside and Peyton Barber aside and everything else, if you think about it, the difference in the two games has been our kicker.
Yep.
We've made field goals, including really long ones, and the other team's kicker has missed at least one field goal that would have basically won – well, it would have won the game for Jacksonville State. And it would have made the equation a little differently against Louisville. I'm not sure.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
On the season, we're 3-for-3 in field goals.
Mm-hmm.
Our opponents are 3-for-7.
That's it. That's the difference in the two games.
You're right.
I never, would have imagined it.
That's why we got that big wind machine thing that Gus carries secretly and aims at the other teams.
It's hidden behind the scoreboard. They cleverly hit it. They totally distracted everybody with the visuals, but it's actually about the wind machine. That's good. I'm sure that Jackie Sherrill thinks we have a radio homing device inside the football that allows us to guide it through the uprights. All right, so let's get into it a little bit. What were you thinking? What were you doing? Tell us about your ritual and your process.
During the game?
Yeah.
I mean, it was ugly. It was painful, frustrating. I mean, it was really a... like every other Auburn fan out there, I was getting to the point where I was like, going to start throwing the remote or whatever. So I literally got to a point where I paused the game on my DVR and I turned the TV off and I put my shoes on and I went out and got some food and then came back. And the best part of the story is? I ran into another couple of Auburn fans who were doing the same thing. They were like, we had to get out of there. We had to get out of there. We were going to go crazy. And I came back and I ate and I watched the rest of it and it was ended up okay. But I this is how much I care about this podcast. I rewatched some of that game today and I would rather have stuck my tongue in a light socket.
That's what it felt like.
Oh, it was awful.
Just
frustrating.
I'd like to point out again, by the way, folks, we won the game. We're 2-0. Okay. For me, my wife is going to have to be off doing something or other with our older daughter on Saturday for LSU, and she's going to miss that game. That's starting to sound like a good option. I may see if I can take her instead. So she was like, well, at least I get to see this game. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry you won't see a very entertaining or there won't be any suspense or anything. So, yeah, she got to have quite a suspenseful game that she watched. So she was sitting on the couch watching it and, not agonizing like me. But I was doing this thing where, the first half I'm just jittery. I'm not happy. I cook some honey barbecue chicken nuggets and some potato wedges and stuff, and we're eating and snacking and everything. And then in the second half, though, I got into that mode I have sometimes in games that that should be like this, you know, like the big games, where I'm actually pacing back mm-hmm. and forth around the living room.
Can't sit down.
No, I'm pacing around the living room, and for each play, kind of like the coaches do on the sideline when it's time for the snap, mm-hmm. I'm kind of behind the coffee table, leaning down with my hands on my knees.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as the play's over, I'm back pacing around again. I was not supposed to have to be doing that on, you know, September 12th. I was not supposed to be having to do that on September 12th.
Can I say something about the idea of playing Jacksonville State?
It's your show.
It's our show, but
yes,
there is no, and I didn't think you talked about last week about how they were dangerous and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There is no benefit from a psychological perspective of ever, ever, ever playing a 1AA team from your own state. And it didn't hit me about the danger until we actually kicked off and as things started happening. Mm-hmm. I see it all the time up here. I live in Virginia, and there's a bunch of really good 1AA programs. I mean, mm-hmm. Richmond and James Madison have both won the 1AA title in the last 10 years. And so when Richmond or James Madison or William & Mary play UVA or Tech, UVA or Tech want nothing to do with those schools.
Yeah.
Because for the little guy, it's like the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The 65 players in Jacksonville State, all of them think they should be playing at Auburn or Alabama. And their one purpose in this game is to show everybody how good they are and how they should be playing at Auburn and Alabama. And the players that transfer from Auburn or Alabama want to stick it to us,
mm-hmm.
you know, to show they're still SEC caliber players. And all of them think this is their one shot to show some, you know, NFL scouts they're good players. And the Auburn players, there's no way they're going to take them as seriously as they do an SEC team. So there's going to be a psychological letdown. So you've got one team that's going to play like it's a Super Bowl and it's the biggest game of their life. And another team that isn't going to play that way. And the talent differential isn't that great.
Mm-mm.
And then you got the coaching staff who went in and played like super vanilla, you know, because we got these huge games coming up.
Well, now that's another question, though. I remind me about super vanilla. The new from Ben and Jerry's. it's got Gus on the label with his headset on, pointing down at the ground, you know.
Early season Gus.
Early Gus, yeah, super vanilla. Polo shirt Gus rather than sweater vest Gus. I knew I was going to do it. No, that's exactly right. And yeah, I mean, you're right. Playing a team like this, it's like juggling lit sticks of dynamite, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if people see you doing it and doing it successful, they just figure, yeah, that's just some juggler that knows how to do that. What's the big deal? And if it blows you up, now it's a big story, right? And you shouldn't have been doing it in the first place.
And the other part is, you know, 1AA is like 1A. You know, there's a bunch of schools, and they range from incredibly dangerous to, you know, terrible.
Western Carolina.
And, you know, we should be playing somebody down in the middle to terrible range instead of playing somebody at the top who's actually legitimately much more dangerous than Vanderbilt, for example.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, I said at the time, I said yesterday that Jacksonville State would beat the mess out of Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
They would. I'd like Jacksonville State to now go play every other team in the SEC and see how it turned out. Because look, if Arkansas can lose to Toledo, they could lose to Jacksonville State. I assume Arkansas dropped out of the top 25 entirely.
They did.
Yeah. Well, there went my whole big prediction. This is turning into not the season I expected. We'll talk about some of the other games as we go along because there's some really interesting stuff. I guess like we did last week, we've got to start with, you know, this was an interesting conversation that kind of, I don't know how much you were seeing of what I was tweeting and what other people were tweeting and the conversation we were having on Twitter. Twitter's kind of like my go-to thing, especially when I'm nervous during a football game, because I can kind of go in and see what people are saying and then jump back out again.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, we were talking about the defense couldn't stop Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State had 10 points at halftime, And my point was, I'm not that concerned that Jacksonville State has 10 points at halftime. I'm concerned that we had six.
That's right.
It should be 30 to 10. I figured they'd get 10. I was worried about the other, you know, ours. It's the offense. It's just like the Mississippi State game last year where, yeah, we gave up a bunch of points, but the problem was the offense. We should have outscored them.
Or the Georgia game last year.
Yes, absolutely.
I agree. To me, like, did we play poorly on defense? Yes, but I'm not nearly as worried about the defense as I am about the offense.
Right.
I mean, I feel like, you know, get Lawson and Matthews and Countess back, and, you know, we'll be okay on defense. We'll be better. And we play – I mean, there was one point in the second half yesterday we were playing five true freshmen at the same time, okay? Yeah. And that wasn't like the little sisters of the poor were playing five true freshmen against. So, I mean, did they give up a bunch of plays again? Yeah. You know, did our defensive ends run by the quarterback? Yeah. Defensive backs get turned around and you know, get scored on and get passes caught on them? Sure. Tim Irvin missed a sack where he had the quarterback in his grasp, that kind of thing. But I think down the road, you know, this experience is going to benefit them. It was, you know, it's like walking through a fire and saying, well, we'll be better because we did that. It wasn't real pleasant at the time. So, you know, I think in the long run, that's going to help. But in the short run, we had to play a lot of those guys and you know, they were kind of hit or miss sometimes.
I got a couple of stats to run by you here quickly.
All right.
Kerryon Johnson ran the speed sweep once. He kind of ran off tackle the other time and actually got like a yard or something.
I would say it wasn't even really the speed sweep.
Well, it was some kind of a sideways play.
We threw it to him, I think. But I mean, this is one of the vanilla things I was talking about. I went back and watched. I don't think we ran a guy in motion across the formation the entire game.
No. I have his 7-yard catch. We ran Kerryon on the sweep in the fourth quarter one time because I was like, now do that again. Do it again. Because when that's working, it stretches the defense out and opens up holes in the center for Peyton Barber.
That's what I'm saying. We never ran a guy across the formation. We never ran Ricardo Lewis in motion across the formation at all, ever.
Right, but we ran Kerryon Johnson and gave him the ball one time, and he got 9 yards.
No, and this is what I'm talking about, the vanilla thing. We should have done that 20 times.
Yes, exactly. Now, here's a little behind the numbers that's going to blow your mind, okay? Rock Thomas. I got a few things to say about Rock Thomas. I have a question for you about Rock Thomas. But let me tell you this. Let me share one little factoid with you. Rock Thomas carried the ball 8 times for 22 yards for an average of 2.8 against Jacksonville State.
Mm-hmm.
Against Jacksonville State, Rock Thomas carried the ball 8 times for 22 yards, 2.8 average. But here's the behind the numbers, all right? One of those carries was for 7 yards. That means Rock Thomas carried the ball 7 times for 15 yards. 7 times for 15 yards.
You know what? None of those numbers mean anything to me because he fumbled the ball when the game was on the line.
That was my question.
None of those numbers mean anything because he fumbled the ball when the game was on the line, and I wouldn't trust him to carry it against anybody right now.
That's my question. Is Rock Thomas the new Mario Fannin?
Yes. He's fourth string, and I wouldn't play him in a game that mattered. If they were within 30 of us, I wouldn't play him.
Wow. That's strong.
That's how I feel about it. I don't trust him. And he's got a long way to go to prove it to me.
Wow. Well, he's what, fumbled twice?
Mm-hmm.
Did he fumble against Louisville?
I'll find out.
Or are we thinking back to the Alabama game last year when he stopped playing for us for a while? Because he's done so well in the offseason. Everything has indicated that he was going to be the man. And it was really only by a twist of fate. Oh, did you hear the reason possibly why Javon Robinson did not play a snap?
I heard a rumor that he and Malzahn got into it, but
oh my gosh,
I'm sure he was saying, "Give me the ball."
This is, well, yeah. This, I mean, you know, help me out here. This is seeming an awful bit like the late Gene Chizik era. What's with all these guys getting in the coaches' faces and arguing with them? And I mean, is it time to kick a couple of guys off the team and say, this is, you know, get your act together. This is what happens.
It's, you know,
because I look at how, what's his name in Florida reacted to just one thing. Did you see that?
He went nuclear.
He did. And I guess I guarantee you he got the message across to everybody in the entire program.
We'll
and that
see.
Was that was just for one little gesture. That wasn't for talking back to a coach.
No, I mean they had they had a bunch of problems in that game. They got like 15 penalties and
yeah.
But no, I mean I don't know. Look, you're saying that they didn't play him.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. No, that's right.
He might have made a big difference.
No, that's true. That's true.
They were willing to lose the game rather than play him.
So. Well, I was wondering if he was hurt, and then I started hearing these rumors. So, all right, well, Ricardo Lewis caught a lot of passes. Let me see. He caught 10 passes, 76 yards, but a long of 13. I mean, that really just kind of shows you.
No long plays in that entire game.
Well.
That one long pass.
And who was it to?
Running back.
Which one?
Rock.
I'm going to make you say it.
I still wouldn't play him.
Wow. 51 yards to Rock Thomas for a touchdown that we had to have, and you still wouldn't play him?
No.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
We got receivers that could catch that ball.
Do we? I'm starting to wonder.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you what.
I'm starting to wonder.
We need to talk about the receivers first or the quarterback first?
Well, let me ask you this. I heard that there was a –
Certainly Duke is Duke.
I mean, certainly Duke is not Duke. He caught two passes. How many catch against Louisville? Like two?
Three?
I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep making you have to go look stuff up. I mean, it wasn't many. It wasn't many. He's come back for his fabulous, you know, senior tour of the SEC and beyond. Yeah. And it's not, I don't think his draft stock has gone up any since last season.
No.
In fact, it's gone down.
Here's the scenarios. Okay.
Right.
He's hurt. The lack of practice time means he's not in sync with Jeremy or he's dogging it. Okay. Well, those are the only three scenarios.
Well, I think he's definitely – well, the other scenario is that they're like double teaming him or something. But that's
new. Because I'm watching him when he – here's the other part of this. I watch him when he doesn't get the ball.
Which is most of the time.
And last year on those plays, like we were in the speed sweep to his side, he blocked people into the ground. And he destroyed people on that play. He was maybe the best blocker on the team on the edge because the tight ends are so weak. And this year, no, not the same.
Really? I haven't been watching that.
So pay attention next time we run that play if he's on the outside, what he does. And I mean, and those routes he ran in the end zone, I didn't like it. Maybe he's hurt. Maybe he and Jeremy are way out of sync. Maybe he's in a funk because they're not giving him the ball 20 times a game. But to me, like, they're very – few guys on offense on the Auburn offense that are, you know, all SEC, all American caliber kind of guys, and he's one of them. And either he's hurt or we're not using him.
This is not the kind of headline I usually go with when I post the show, but this is the kind of headline that the War Eagle Sports Radio Network generally goes with when they post our show on their network. Mm-hmm. Does Auburn have a chemistry problem?
I don't think so.
I mean, in other words, is there poison in the environment, in the locker room.
I don't think that. I mean, I just think I don't think that's the problem. I just think we're not nearly as good as we thought we were. I mean, I think that's
But if Duke was playing like he was last year, that would. I mean, if everybody was playing the way they did last year or the way that we thought they would, then we are as good. Mm. So what's making us not play that well?
All right, on offense specifically, number one, the biggest thing on offense was Avery Young didn't play. By 100 miles, that was the biggest thing on Saturday.
Because the offensive line.
The offensive line, because again, he's our best offensive lineman, and because he didn't play, number one, we lost our best offensive lineman. Number two, all the other guys had to shift positions.
Why didn't he play?
So he's hurt. He twisted his ankle, supposedly, against Louisville. So they held him out to save him for LSU. And but you saw it. The offensive line was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, we couldn't push Jacksonville State around.
Couldn't do anything.
We couldn't open up holes. And
if we can't do anything on the offensive line next Saturday, it's going to be another Black Saturday. It's going to be one of those infamous Black Saturdays in Baton Rouge, like 48-7.
We'll talk about them in a minute.
Oh, I know it.
I'm going to tell you a little secret here, okay? Last year, Mississippi State ran the ball up the middle on them for about 170 yards.
Yeah.
This year, it was 30.
Oh, dear.
So.
All right.
The offensive, I mean, again, Avery Young's our best lineman. His not playing caused everybody else to shift over. We got to get him back and get everybody else in the right position. And the offensive line's got to pick up their game. I mean, that was not, you know, that was not a great game by them. You know, Peyton Barber's having to dive over people 1 yard from the line. We're playing Jacksonville State. That's a problem.
Peyton Barber, is he our man, and do we want that to be the case?
I mean, I think he's the man by default, but to me, like, he's solid. But, I mean, I don't think he's great. To me, he's like Trey Smith.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
The little surfer dude?
Yeah.
No.
He's solid.
Who was our back from 2008-2009 from Maryland that played for the Texans?
No. No.
He's not that good?
No. I don't think so.
He looks pretty good out there to me. He's at 100 yards.
Ben Tate. You're talking productive. I mean, we give him the ball 30 times a game.
We had 23 carries for 125 yards, 5.4 average.
I don't think he's on the same planet as Ben Tate right now. I mean, he could be, but and I'm giving credit. He makes plays. He blocks. He can catch the ball. You know, and when the game was on the line Saturday, he made plays, and I love him for that. But to me, like, I haven't seen evidence that his ceiling is really high. This is what concerns me. Like, what I emailed you on Saturday night that I was upset about. Like, the Gus Miles on offense, for it to work effectively, it seems like we need to have either a quarterback that can run the ball really great, you know, B, a great offensive line, C, a great running back, D, a great passing game. I don't think we have any of those.
No.
And I'm almost like, and I know other people are, you know, other people are yelling for Sean White or whatever, but I'm looking at these other teams and I'm looking at us last year and going, man, I really miss Nick Marshall. And I wish we had a quarterback that could just run. I don't care. I would take a quarterback that couldn't throw the ball worth a crud right now if he could run.
I was looking at our quarterback depth chart in my head, which I carry around in my head. And you know who I was wishing we had?
Who?
That Woody guy in high school. I'm jumping right past Sean White. Obviously, what's his Tyler Queen is having surgery. We know that Jonathan Wallace is a great guy. He's Cody Burns, though. You know, he's not, you know, Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. I was skipping past every one of them and wanting to get Woody on up here. And you know what's funny is that's what we used to say when Jeremy Johnson was in high school.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait till we get Jeremy Johnson.
Oh, Jeremy Johnson's going to be the man. He's going to be the best quarterback we've had since Jason Campbell or before, or than Cam, you know. What the heck? So let's close out this offense talk, this offensive talk. Jeremy, I mean, we've kind of danced around the 250-pound pink elephant in the room. Was he any better? I don't think he was better because Louisville has a much better defense than Jacksonville State.
That's fair. I mean, again, the turnovers were horrific.
Yes.
You know, I mean, the interceptions were just mind-numbingly bad.
What does Gus mean when he says, he repeatedly said, I've got to help him. I've got to make things less difficult for him or whatever.
I think what he means is I've got to, you know, do things where he's given open up the whole offense and given Jeremy the keys and open up the whole thing. And he needs to go back, you know, some of the stuff we did with Nick Marshall 2 years ago where we have, you know, the routes are much simpler and there's only two guys out there. Maybe there's only half the field he's looking at. And maybe we go to some of that kind of stuff.
Well, we've got three or four basic plays, and I don't feel like we run any of them anymore. But we've under Gus, we've always had three or four basic plays that always work, right? I mean, there's like the power up the middle, there's the sweep around the end, there's the play action pass that's kind of short to intermediate, and I mean, and then there's like the read option, and we're not doing any of that. We're doing that sort of. The offense I hate the most, which is, you know, we've talked about this for years on this show.
The drop back, look around.
The drop back, survey the field, and get pressured. I hate that. And when you think of Jeremy as a young quarterback, at least in terms of experience, every coach we play is going to say, young quarterback, get pressure on him, get in his head, mess him up, make him throw in, make him make poor decisions, you know. So, you know, and since everybody was agreed that Jeremy's going to go to the NFL after this season, he doesn't have many games left to figure out how to play quarterback before he has to go to the NFL.
You're so funny. Listen, it's not like you wrote a big essay where you projected that Jeremy was going to have a gazillion yards and touchdowns and put it on the line so everybody could read it.
Well, I said after the Louisville game.
I'm saying that because I did that. So.
Oh, I was trying to remember. I was like, I wasn't sure. But no, I said after the Louisville game, I don't know if I said it to you, that probably the person most disappointed by how Jeremy played in the Louisville game was Sean White. You know what I mean?
Sure.
He's like, there went that season. There went me in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
And maybe him playing anyway in
2016. Well, yeah, after Louisville, Sean's like, dang it. And after Jacksonville State, Sean's like, well.
And let me say this. We're joking about that. Yeah. I am absolutely not one of those fans who's like bringing the backup quarterback.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
Never say that.
No.
If we go down there and Jeremy throws two interceptions in the first half and we're down by 10 points in Baton Rouge, would you play the backup quarterback?
I tweeted one tweet where I expressly in the second half said I'm behind Jeremy all the way, but I'm starting to maybe just a little bit wonder about that. And that was when it just was not clicking at all. Now, fortunately, he kind of gathered things up and got it done. But there was a point in the second half Saturday where I was wondering not so much what I would do, but what Gus would do.
Sure.
Did you ever feel that there was a chance that he was going to go to Sean White?
No, not in the second game. No way.
Yeah. I know I was saying you really don't want to start a quarterback controversy right before you go to Baton Rouge.
Yeah. No, I mean, they've spent all this time invested in Jeremy and him being the man and stuff. They got to go down with the ship a little bit on that.
Jeremy Johnson's our quarterback.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Gus. So, all right.
I'm not taking any more questions on that. Jeremy's our quarterback.
Here's another one. Like I want us to run the read option. I want Jeremy to freaking keep it a couple of times, please. I know he's not Nick Marshall,
right?
But he just needs – I mean, there are times when he hands the ball to the running back and there's nobody near him. Like he doesn't even look to see, is there anybody in front of me? He just hands it off.
I'm honestly wondering if he's had his eyes open during the plays.
He does. It's just – yeah.
One other thing before we, because we've covered most of this now on our agenda, what about the penalties, and particularly that one targeting call again that caused Blake Countess, fortunately in the first half, to be thrown out?
Yeah, I didn't love that. I mean, the guy was sliding, but you know, I think Countess got him as he was coming down. He didn't hit him with the helmet or anything.
Well,
that was a little ticky-tacky.
Let me say this. I was seeing people blowing up and talking about that play and then the one in the second half that was much more violent that they did on us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me just say this. I watched both of them multiple times in slow motion during the game. Technically, okay, technically the referees made the right decision in both cases.
That's right.
Because Countess did contact with his helmet the guy going down, all right? And if you watch again in slow motion, unless I totally missed it, the guy that just creamed our receiver, who was it, the receiver? Was it Duke? It was Duke, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The guy that just creamed Duke never actually hit Duke with his helmet. He just did one of those extremely violent stopping your momentum plays.
With his shoulder?
Yes.
Some with
his shoulder and his chest. But he certainly didn't lead with his helmet, and it did not. I never saw his helmet hit. But here's the thing: by the letter of the law, it was played out that right. But in the spirit of the law, which is trying to keep people from getting injured, what Blake Countess did wasn't going to hurt anybody, and what the dude did to Duke hurt him. Literally, put him down for a while. So I think that, as somebody said, 2 years in, nobody yet understands the targeting rule. And I think that this just was a really good demonstration that if you go by just the letter of the law, you totally miss the point of it. Because it was a much more dangerous play of what happened to Duke than what happened to their quarterback. And yet our guy was penalized and theirs wasn't. It's just bizarre.
I think you're right. I think they were both kind of, happen so fast and the officials don't get a lot of time to look at it. But anytime there's the quarterback and he's sliding, they're going to give it to you. Well. So.
All right. Anything else about the Jacksonville State game?
I mean, were you worried about the defense at all?
Oh yeah.
Well, okay. Well, let's do this on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the worst.
Mm-hmm. 10 is
most worried.
10 is.
Oh my God!
Right.
Yeah.
And 1 is.
One is we're cool. No problems. We're going to the playoffs. Okay.
There we go. I hit the wrong button. There you go. Okay.
All right, so, on the offense, how worried are you 1 to 10?
How worried am I about the offense in general 1 to 10? 9.
Wow. Okay. How about the defense?
Well, it's hard to say because we never have all the pieces in. I see people were reacting funny to what I was saying. I had a tweet where I listed all the players that were not out there on the field with our defense, either because of injury or being kicked out or whatever. And there was like 5, starting players that were not on the field. And they're like, well, there's no excuse. I'm like, I'm not making excuses. I'm just making a list. The context is not, well, this is why. The context is, look at all these players we don't have on the field. It's insane. So, on a scale of 1 to 10 of how worried I am about the defense, 4.
Okay.
Now, what do you say?
Yeah, we've given up a lot of third down conversions on defense, and that still worries me. But I feel like when Lawson's on the field, it's going to help.
But he's not on the field.
Well, that's the thing. Like,
he's played one half.
And he's on crutches.
Yes.
So, maybe 5. God. And the offense, I'm going to say 7.
You're more confident than I am right now.
Well, just because I go back to – this is the thing. Like, does Gus have a bunch of stuff in the can that's going to work, that they know is going to work, they're not using?
No.
Yes, I think they do.
No, but I think they don't. I think this is it. And I think it's just not working. And his quote was, we couldn't hit a lick on offense. Well, that's right. And I think that they were swinging. I mean, I know you say we're being vanilla, but honestly, I'm beginning to wonder if there's anything else in the freezer besides vanilla.
There is.
I don't know what other flavors we've got, man.
I get it. You and I have seen this. How many times have we watched Gus Malzahn on offense? He unpacks stuff over the course of the season, and he saves stuff. And again, and they're never going to pull something out of the freezer. It doesn't matter whether they're losing the game or not.
And what ice cream scoop is going to run the ball? Peyton Barber?
Yes.
That's our only scoop?
Yes.
We're going to get all of our ice cream. We're whipping, punishing this metaphor, aren't we? We're going to put all of our ice cream into our bowls with Peyton Barber.
Yep.
Good Lord help us.
It's true. Did you see any Jason Smith the other night either? No.
Well, there was one play where he was wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans. Nope. Kevin McHale's not walking through that door, and Robert Parrish is not walking through that door.
Trey Mason's not walking through that door.
No. Nope. Sammy Coates not walking through that door.
Ben Tate's not walking through that door. Oh.
All right, that's enough venting. You're talking about LSU.
I hope that was therapeutic. I'm sure people were throwing their iPhones out the window of their car as they drove around.
Please don't give up hope after you listen to us vent about that. It's Sunday night. The game was yesterday.
All right, our show is three quarters over, so let's get everything else in here. LSU, you watched the game, right, last night?
Most of it.
I watched most of it, too. I was flipping back and forth with Oregon, Michigan State. Very quickly, what do you think about LSU? What do you think about Mississippi State?
I mean, Mississippi State is what they thought. It's Dak and not much else. I mean, he was, again, it's like one of those Eli Manning Ole Miss teams. They don't have anybody else around him. He was running for his life the whole time.
Right, right. That's a good example.
But he's kind of that savvy senior quarterback. Like, he was throwing the ball away. It wasn't there. He'd throw it away, or he'd run, get a few yards, and dump it off. He kept him in the game by doing that. He didn't panic and try and force it down the field, when it wasn't there. And he brought him back. And LSU, again, I don't see a lot of difference. Do you know what their quarterback stats were in that game?
No.
Brandon Harris?
No.
Do you have any idea?
I watched most of it, and I thought he had a better game than he did last year ever. Didn't he run around a little bit, get some rushing yards?
9 for 14 for 71 yards.
You know what? For an LSU offense, though, that's not actually too bad.
No, but I mean, he completed 9 passes for 70 for 5 yards an attempt or whatever, right?
I heard Mullen say maybe at halftime that it's going to have to come down to him throwing the ball because they were not going to run on Mississippi State.
Well, that's the thing. LSU? Let's talk about their offense first. It's this LSU offense is the same. They're going to run the ball and run the ball and run the ball. It's Fournette all the time. He's a big, physical, explosive running back, and we have to have Lawson and Matthews, and especially Matthews, I think, is the guy we got to have.
Yeah.
Because, Fournette outweighs Nick Ruffin and those other defensive backs. We got to have Matthews in there to be able to come up and make plays against him. And they're going to run him 35 times against us, and we got to be ready for it. This is a, Matthews, Casanova, McKenzie game. This is a game, McKenzie always plays well against. So it's simple. I mean, stop the run. We got a chance. If they rush for 250 yards, we're going to lose probably.
Casanova just needs to look at Leonard Fournette and imagine a big Chick-fil-A sandwich in a purple jersey.
So that part is not complicated. The offensive line for them is about the same. I don't think their quarterback and their receivers are that much better. I just think they're being smarter this year.
Yeah.
Defensively, they had this freshman named Arlen Key, who is a good recruit, and he's all in the backfield all the freaking time.
Hmm. What does he play?
Like defensive end.
Okay.
And so, they got guys that are getting a lot of penetration, getting the backfield. And when you play LSU, it's just a given. If you run side to side against them, you're in trouble.
Oh, you got to go right always, up. You got to go right at them.
Their defense is always fast side to side. And so they seem a lot better up the middle than they were last year. Now Mississippi State's a lot worse. They don't have Josh Robinson, and they've lost their guards and stuff that were on that team last year. So Auburn is going to have to run straight at them. We can't get all cute and be running side to side because we know from experience, like the speed sweep and stuff, it isn't going to be great against them.
No.
They're going to be standing out there waiting on that guy. So,
absolutely. You got to run it a few times or at least have the option
You have to run. I'm not saying you have to call it every time, but you got to have, guys, run it across the formation in motion like you're going to run it.
Absolutely.
You know, like you could, or you could play action off it and stuff. So,
and I'm imagining their secondary is probably a good bit better than Jacksonville State and probably better than Louisville, right? I mean, the power.
Size. I mean, and their best safety, Mills, is still out. I don't think he's going to play. But their cornerbacks are big and fast and physical. And our receivers have to play a great game. So, and Jeremy's got to play a good game.
Jeremy's got to throw it to the guy in blue and not the guy in white and purple.
That's right.
What did you think about how we opened up the Jacksonville State game doing a lot of horizontal passing to Ricardo?
I thought that was fine. I mean, but then we just like gave it, forgot about it. Yeah. I thought that was it was good. It was there. We took it, make him pay for it. And the biggest thing in the LSU game is we got to keep it together at the first 5 or 10 minutes. I mean,
yes.
2 years ago we went down there and kind of self-destructed in the monsoon. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it in other times we go down there and the crowd's going crazy. Even if it's a day game, that's going to help us. But we got to this team last year, the Auburn team, went on the road and turned the ball over in the first play a few times and stuff. They got to keep it calm, keep it together, go down there and make some positive plays and just not – give it away in the first 10 minutes. If we're still hanging around in the first 10 minutes, I'll feel okay.
We're going to learn a lot Saturday because this is basically the same LSU team we beat the snot out of in Auburn.
Mm-hmm. In their home stadium, but yes.
And I mean, if the shoe is entirely on the other foot, and I would point out that for the last 15 years, that's been the case, right? I mean, mm-hmm. like 2001, they beat us pretty good down there. 2002, we beat the snot out of them in Auburn. 2003, they crushed us down there. 2004, we beat them in Auburn. 2005 was kind of fluky. 2006, we beat them in Auburn. 2007, I mean, in other words, in 2009, they beat the snot out of us down there. 2011, they beat the snot out of us down there. So, I mean, it tends to bounce back and forth, In other words, there's not much consistency in this series. It's more like blowout, 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 back and forth. It's a very strange series. It's a very home and home series. It's like the opposite of how Georgia and Auburn used to be back in the 80s and 90s when the away team would blow the home team out every time, It's a really strange series, so.
It is. But I think keep it together, we'll be okay.
Keep it together. We'll see. Let's see. What else you want to talk about before we get into the around the SEC? Anything else?
I mean, have your expectations for the season changed, or are you just ride with it and see what happens?
We're 2-0. I keep saying this. We are undefeated. I know that we've dropped to 18, but we are undefeated. We're 2-0. Nothing has been taken from us yet. Nothing. Now, if we had lost that game to Jacksonville State, it would have been a seismic upheaval. I'm tempted to say, and this is going to sound utterly bizarre, and you and others may make fun of me, I'm tempted to say that winning that game against Jacksonville State in overtime made it one of the biggest wins in Auburn history. Now, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, well, you're saying that because the consequences for losing were so dire.
Yes.
Sure, I get that because, again, people are still talking about the Michigan-Appalachian State game. Look, and they're still showing that scoreboard and they're still showing those highlights. And we were going to be that team.
Look at this. We lose to Florida State in the Rose Bowl. You just lost the national championship. We are miserable for weeks. But what did we do? We just lost the national championship game.
To one of the best teams in college football history.
Right, by 13 seconds. You lose to Jacksonville State at home when you're number 6 in the country. The ramifications are much, much worse than the ramifications of losing to Florida State in Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
So by avoiding that fate, that became a huge win. On its own, it's not a huge win.
It shouldn't have had to be.
No, exactly. But the fact that it was, so that gets back around to have my season expectations. No, my season expectations have not changed a bit because we can go and beat LSU and everything is back on track. And this was just a strange aberration and nobody will barely remember it a year from now. We go down there and we lose to LSU in a close game and we'll say, well, you know what? We're making progress. Mm-hmm. And we're not as bad as we thought, but there, you know, the season, we'll have to readjust our expectations, but it's not as bad as we thought. We go down there and get blown out by LSU, then I'm going to totally change my expectations.
Outside of the outcome of the game, I just want us to go down there and play well.
Yes.
I mean, if we go down there and play well and they play great and they beat us, that's, you know, I'll get over it. But if we get in there and play like crap, I'm going to have a problem.
All right. What do you think CBS thought about having their game be at Vanderbilt? They wish it was Jacksonville State Auburn.
No, but I think they thought this is their – they have to go to all the SEC schools because they're paying them all the money. This is their one shot to go to Vanderbilt in a week like this, so they did it.
And Vandy hung in there.
They did. I mean, again, Vanderbilt's good on defense.
Yeah.
But
they hung in there. I saw they were averaging like half a yard of a carry on rushing, so that made me a little nervous about Georgia's defense. Kentucky came through for me.
They did. And, you know, South Carolina. Ugh.
Yeah, I had a feeling that there may be a lot of golf in Spurrier's future. Now, there's been a lot of golf in his past, but I think there might be even more, you know.
Yeah, it's not looking good there.
Players
were questioning the play calling today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's not good. Nope. What other great, famous national championship winning coach is lined up to take over for Spurrier since they've gone from Lou Holtz to Steve Spurrier? I mean, who's out there that they could – Tressel?
Lane Kiffin.
Oh, no. Jim Tressel, maybe, to South Carolina?
I wasn't joking.
Well, you know, I thought Lane Kiffin was waiting for the Miami job to open up.
It's going to be open.
That seemed like a fit for him. He just partied with the rest of them down there. Ole Miss has scored like 150 points in 2 weeks. I know they haven't played anybody, but whoa.
Ole Miss plays at Alabama on Saturday, Nick.
Lord have mercy, that's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. What time is that game? Night?
Give me 1 second.
In other words, our game is 2:30. So I'm thinking
it's a CBS game. I mean, it's the ESPN game.
ESPN game. So here's the deal: if LSU beats us, if on the off chance LSU beats us, we can just sit back and root for Ole Miss to deliver a good old fashioned behind the shed whooping to Alabama. Now I don't know if they will, right? But they certainly seem capable of doing something. Would you say?
Well, it's 7:15 Central on ESPN. Okay. I'm gonna say this. I don't think Alabama's pass defense is that great, and I think Ole Miss's offense is better than it has been with this Kelly kid playing quarterback and the receivers they have.
Right.
So I think that's the part of the game that I want to see. I think Ole Miss's defense is still really good, and I think they're going to, you know, slow Alabama down, and I think they can throw the ball in Alabama. That's going to be fun to watch.
A couple other things. I don't care about Alabama. Toledo beat Arkansas. Well, at least we're not Arkansas, right?
I mean, well, and we talked about the coordinator change there.
Yeah.
Do you know who's leading the SEC in passing?
No.
Kelly
at Ole Miss?
It'd be those Razorbacks.
What?
I'm telling you, this guy has – they're not the same team. They're throwing the ball a gazillion times a game.
It didn't work.
They threw – here's the stats from that game. 53 pass attempts, 32 completions, 60% completion percentage, 412 yards.
Man, is it because of their running back being hurt?
No, I think some of it is they just opened it up a little bit, but they've gotten away from that kind of smash mouth.
Wow, didn't see that coming.
Yep.
I was watching the Tennessee game. It was 17-3, like the entire. It looked like Tennessee and Oklahoma. I mean, it's like Tennessee got the ball and scored a 17-point touchdown, and then Oklahoma kicked a field goal, and for the rest of the game, it was 17-3. And then I flipped over, and then somebody on Twitter said, "You better go back to Tennessee."
I was watching the whole comeback.
Yeah, that Oklahoma came rolling back and outscored them like 31-7, basically. No, 28-7.
Came back and took it to and tied it, and then went to overtime and beat him overtime.
Beat him there, yeah.
And again,
not ready for prime time, Tennessee.
Well, I mean, Tennessee has been close in these games. They had it in the bag, and Oklahoma was making plays. The Shepherd guy for Oklahoma, this receiver, made a ton of plays in the fourth quarter and overtime. He was amazing. He's one of the best offensive players I've seen this year.
Wow.
And And again, Tennessee did the same thing that Jacksonville State did. They got super conservative at the end.
Yep.
I mean, and it came back and bit them in the butt. They basically played for overtime, and Oklahoma beat them in overtime.
Texas A&M, 56-16 over Ball State. I mean, are they for real?
Yeah, we'll see soon. But, again, they don't have any tough games anytime soon, so we'll have to wait.
I was totally expecting Missouri to lose to Arkansas State and then go on to win the SEC East. And they almost did.
They almost did. They could lose to BYU in a couple weeks.
Oh, BYU's beating everybody. Yeah. BYU has the ball with a minute to go. You better put somebody like center field in the end zone. Commit a pass interference if you have to. Just stop the Hail Mary. Let's see. Florida won an ugly one against the Pirates in a game that hurt my eyes and looked like a Clemson spring game.
Mm-hmm.
Florida in all orange head to toe.
Yeah, that was ugly.
So Auburn fans that freak out at the slightest orange anything on our uniforms, avert your eyes from Florida because they wore orange shirts, orange pants, orange helmets. It was pretty horrific. We talked about LSU. Coming ahead, we talked about Alabama Ole Miss a little bit. That could be interesting. The Chickens go and get their tails whipped. Well, you know, if there's anybody South Carolina can beat, even in a bad year, it's Georgia.
It, they have Georgia's number. I mean, Spurrier has their number. He does stuff to them. So South Carolina lost their quarterback in that game, too. They played the backup most of the game. So
I got the let me just go ahead. If I can find the button, because I haven't used it but one time in the last 8 months or so.
My cold, dead hands.
Lock of the week.
I'm going to go ahead and lock up Kentucky to beat Florida. It'll be 2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks in a row, I'm riding that Wildcat train.
I don't want to tell you the numbers, but you know what? Do you know what the history is in there?
Yeah, it's that Florida always beats Kentucky.
Yeah, they beat him like 33 times in a row.
I'm bringing the juju.
All right.
This is it. The streak ends. This is the Florida at their weakest. It's Kentucky on the way up. It's in Cam Newton Stadium. This is it.
Okay.
Texas A&M crush Nevada.
Yeah, it's a bunch of non-conference games. The only one that's kind of interesting is Texas Tech at Arkansas, which...
We'll see. A lot of passing in that game, I'm expecting now.
I went back and looked at the Arkansas thing after we talked about it. They only ran for 103 yards against Toledo.
That's unbelievable.
I think that's the kind of thing Bird is going to look at that and go, who are we?
Yes.
I think he's going to throw all this passing crap out the window and go, I don't care.
This newfangled passing crap.
He's going to throw it out the window and go, I'm going to run the ball 40 times a game and forget all that.
Yes. And Austin Peay takes on noted 1AA power Vanderbilt.
Well, this is Vanderbilt's real shot for a win, so don't laugh.
Yeah, well. All right. We've brought this sucker in. Do we have any listener questions?
Oh, yes, we do. I completely forgot. I'm sorry.
It's time for listener questions. Dun-dun-dun on the AU Wishbone Podcast.
All right, let's move this sucker along. What we got? Rapid fire.
All right. Lionel Cornbank Jr. says,
you got it.
How do you think Sean White will do against LSU?
I think we've covered that, but that was a good one. Glad I got that one in. I need a ba-dump bump. I've got to get a button for ba-dump bump. That's coming.
Gopher Ground says, does Gus realize he has to adjust his play calling? There's too much film on him out there now.
I think he's totally – I don't recognize our formations. I don't recognize our plays. John, we ran a screen pass in this game. We never run screen passes. We never run screen passes.
We ran a bunch of 2009.
Well, 2009, yeah. But I mean –
I'm saying that this offense is going to look a lot more like 2009 than anything else.
It's different. It's strange and bizarre, and it frightens and confuses me.
Can I say this right now? I hate the full house backfield for this team.
I know.
I hate it. It brings all the defenders in up close to the line of scrimmage. Then we try and run out of it, and it's like what are we doing there?
Are we gonna run some Wildcat with Jason Smith?
I'd take it right now.
Yeah.
I would take it. And that's and we all love the Wildcat. Yeah. All right. Teddy Min says WTF, Gus.
Yeah, well, we've covered that.
All right. Ward M. Wade says, is Jeremy Johnson's problem a coaching issue or a lack of field vision that cannot be fixed?
I wish I had the answers. If I had the answers, I'd be on the phone to Gus and Rhett right now.
It's hard for me to believe that it's a vision thing that he got to this point and now it's coming out. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Remember like that never happened in practice. It never happened in high school. It never happened up to now. Now it's happened in games. So I think it's got to be some kind of mental thing where he's locking in what he's going to do with the ball before the play ever happens. And the defenders are there. He has to stop, you know, look, analyze, and then throw the ball. And he's not doing that. He's just saying, this is where I'm going, boom.
Here's my question for you, my last question probably until I think of another. If Steve Spurrier was our coach,
Well, I think
he'd be alternating back and forth between Jeremy and Sean White, wouldn't he? And rolling Jason out there too.
He might, but I also feel like, you know, I mean,
he'd be doing Spurrier's a lot of screaming.
Spurrier is a passing coach, and I think he could fix it. I mean, I really do.
He would be losing his bloody mind.
All right. All Auburn, All Blue ask a good question. He says, our three previous coaches, Terry Bowden, Tuberville, Gene Chizik,
heard of him,
notoriously poured out the half-assed game at some point. Why will Gus Malzahn be different?
He did what?
They all, at some point, play, you know, the half-ass really bad game.
Was
you know we're
it?
Talking the no the Tuberville Gene Chizik. You
well,
know,
I understand. So was this it? I'm saying was this?
His question is why will Gus be different? Why should we expect him to play at a high level every single week?
Well, for a lot of them, it was Arkansas.
Hmm. You knew that there were going to be games. Right. With Tuberville especially, you could just predict this.
Oh, like, sure,
the
yeah.
The team would not come out and play at a high level.
Usually against Arkansas, right. Sometimes Georgia.
All right. WDE2U says, has anyone scored on Auburn with Lawson on the field? Another question is, will Les Miles run the ball even if we put 11 guys in the box? And he says yes.
Yeah, I mean, Les is going to do whatever he wants. You saw him, like you saw the picture, the screen cap I did of him. It looked like he was taking a leak on the side of the stuff. That was awesome.
Another question is,
Les is going to do what he's going to do, man. He's not going to be worried about, you know, any scientific logic or anything.
Nope. Do you think the forced playing of the younger players will be at all scary, but will help at Amen Corner?
Oh, it's got to help. Sure. It's scary as crap now, but it's got to help later, don't you think?
I really do. I really think playing all these young guys now is going to help, you know, over the next few games on defense. I really, really do. I think Holland's going to make plays. I think the defensive back's going to make plays. I think, you know, it's going to make a difference.
Yep. It's just a matter of getting through these games with them.
That's right. Last one is Emily Rios, who says, so many questions. She says, what the F? You know, how do they fix this? Does JJ need LASIK?
No kidding.
When will the Gus Malzahn offense show up?
Well, we don't have the personnel right now for the offense that you're thinking of, right? I mean, that's the thing is that Gus has been effective with a number of different personnel packages and a number of different play packages. And the ones that we've kind of gotten used to, both with Cam and then with Nick, were completely different personnel packages and completely different play packages than what we're using now. And it really just feels like they're almost just now starting to even try to learn the thing we're doing now. When the offensive line doesn't play well, then nothing's gonna click.
Well, again, because it's harder to run the ball when the quarterback doesn't run. I mean, it just is.
Yeah.
Because the defense knows who's going to get it and the angles are easier and all that kind of stuff. They don't have to hesitate and wait and see if the quarterback's going to keep it. But, I mean, there's this whole other side of the Gus Malzahn passing offense. We saw it in 2009 and we've seen it the other places he's coached. And we saw it some with, you know, at the latter half of the season with Cam. And it's there. It works. But that requires the quarterback and the receivers to play well. Yeah. And they're not.
Yeah.
I mean, other than Lewis, the rest of the receivers, I think, are not playing well. They're not getting open. They're not catching the ball. They're not blocking well. And Jeremy, you know, isn't decisive and confident in making good decisions. He has to be that. And I think if he, you know, if he does well and the receivers do well, I think it's going to open everything else up. But that's a big if when you go, you know, you're going down and playing Baton Rouge. So,
all right. I do have one more question for you.
All right.
Percentage of the offensive snaps, just a round number, like 80%, 90%, 10%. Percentage of the offensive of the running game carries that Peyton Barber gets against LSU. Like of every time that that Jeremy hands the ball off, how many percent of that time will be to Peyton Barber?
You're not saying how many runs versus passes. You're saying just out of runs, how many are Peyton Barber?
As opposed to handing it to somebody else.
80%.
How many percent to Rock Thomas?
Zero.
Zero. You don't think he's going to carry the ball in this game?
No, I would not. I wouldn't give it. They may give it to him. I would not.
You understand Mario Fannin did play more than one game for Auburn, right?
He was a great kickoff returner. I'd be fine putting Rock back there.
Mario also was very good at catching short passes and taking possessions.
I don't have a problem with Rock being the third down back, and I throw him the ball maybe once in a while, but I'm not hitting him the ball on an important drive and a get football game.
So the other 20% is going to be some combination of carry on my wayward son. And Ricardo Lewis and maybe Jason Smith. And do we see Jovan Robinson?
I think we do. And I think he'll play. I think he'll play okay. But again, this is me personally. I'd give the ball to Kerryon Johnson 10 times before I gave it to Rock right now.
Wow. All right.
Wait, that kid's got something. We need to give him the ball.
All right.
Spark on offense. He could be it.
What did we learn today?
We learned that we're depressed because we played a terrible football game yesterday.
We learned that we're undefeated, John. We are 2-0. We are undefeated and everything is still in front of us. And we brought in one of the greatest wins in Auburn football history from a certain point of view. If you hold your head just right and close one eye and drink a half a bottle of bourbon, that was one of the most important, biggest wins in
Auburn. Anakin Skywalker murdered and killed your father from a certain point of view.
Confused I am. No. So I think we've also learned that we're not entirely sure what's going on, but I think we still have confidence that it can all be corrected. We just, I think, kind of we'd like to see some evidence of that maybe.
That's right.
And there's no better place to start than Baton Rouge.
You got that right.
But they better get their crap together before they get off the bus.
I'm going to throw out this scenario. We stop them running the ball. They stop us running the ball. It turns into a low-scoring game.
With like two great passers.
Well, again.
Dueling.
if, you know, we don't turn it over and they don't turn it over. We can't run the ball on each other. It turns into a, you know, field position, that kind of stuff. The defenses play well. I could see it being a, you know, a game under 20.
Man.
That's not, you know, that's, again, I'd rather our offense play well. I'm just throwing that scenario out.
Well, LSU did that with Mississippi State this Saturday.
You're playing into Les Miles' court there. But
yeah, you are. And LSU pulled it out. Man, we need Fournette to trip over a bicycle getting off the bus, don't we?
Yeah, you know.
It would help. All right. I think we're about done. Any last thoughts?
I hate LSU.
They got a butt whooping coming, and honestly, as somebody on Twitter agreed with me and said, it would be the most Auburn thing ever for us to go down there and beat them by double digits.
That's right.
It would. All right. Our time is up. Don't forget, by the way, check out Decades of Dominance. Read about all the great years and a few like this one. Cheer you up a little bit at this time and place. Our time is up. Thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, Ben.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.